Our scripture reading is taken from page 816 in our Pew Bibles, which is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Our text is verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Together, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. May God bless his words to our hearts as we consider them. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, facing the devil is not an easy task. So this task must not be treated lightly. The devil is strong and has a strong army, and he and his army know how to fight. They've been doing it for years, centuries, millennia. Those who take the devil lightly are walking on dangerous ground. Why? Because you and the devil are perpetually battling, fighting. Drop your guard against him and you die. Some people deny the fight exists, but it is real and it is dangerous. This battle with the devil has life consequences. And in light of the baptism today, with two more children marked by God in holy baptism, we want to examine this battle so children can be trained to fight the devil and bring glory to Jesus Christ. Their training must begin while they are young and at home. No soldier goes to war to get training. They get training at home. Our headings are the evil devil, evaluating the danger of the devil, I should say. Evaluating the danger of the devil and equipping yourself to fight against the devil. Knowing the devil is evil, you need to be equipped. Our goals are that you learn not to minimize the devil, but to realize the real danger the devil poses, and that you become equipped to fight him and equip others to fight him as well, especially as parents of children. Evaluating the danger of the devil, how evil he is. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil is your dangerous enemy. If he weren't, Peter would not warn about this as he does. No good person jokes about life and death issues. If someone jokes about those issues, you would be concerned. And the Apostle Peter doesn't. He says the devil is dangerous. But first we must ask the question, who is this devil that is so dangerous? Well, the word devil is a Greek word, diablos. It's the same word, I believe, in Spanish. Diablo. It means accuser or slanderer. He was the leader of the rebellion in heaven against Jesus Christ, and he and a third of the angels were thrown out by Jesus Christ. Now, the devil is, as his name suggests, a slanderer. What is slander? Slander is a legal word used in court. It is literally one who accuses another of breaking the law. The devil pleads that justice might take place and punishment might be inflicted or put upon you. He's not your friend. He pretends to be your friend and then accuses you. He daily accuses you before God of sinning. And he's very diligent about his task. He wins many cases. He first traps you by luring whispers in your ears, and then he accuses you when you follow his suggestion. Consider a few examples of how this is done in the Bible. Let's read 1 Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 together. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. So there is an example. He's ready to oppose. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, together. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. He's an accuser day and night. Now the devil has no shame. The devil accuses man to God. And then the devil turns around and accuses God to man. Remember what he told Eve. God doesn't want you to be like he is. He knows he is lying, but he can't help himself. He's a liar from the beginning. How do you know the devil is lying? His lips are moving. Any suggestion from the devil is a lie in some way. His goal is to deceive, to slander. He was there when Jesus was in the wilderness, when Jesus was hungry. And he will be there when you are weak also. Count on it. He will use your friend as he used Judas. He will use your wife as when he used Jezebel against her husband, Ahab. He will use religious people who you think you can be safe with them. They are religious. Maybe they're a pastor. They wouldn't do bad things. Just like he used the scribes and Pharisees and those who pretend to be Christians. In the name of Christianity, people have captured slaves and killed slaves. In the name of Christianity, much pillaging has been done. So the devil uses all kinds of people under the cover of Christianity. But the devil is more than simply a slanderer. That's one of the first names for him. His name is Slanderer. But as a slanderer, his goal is to devour. The devil is a devourer. That's a hard word to say very quickly. He's a devourer. The goal of the devil is to consume. Consume means to ferociously eat, to attack the food. Like teenage kids with potato chips. You know, they don't nibble on potato chips. It's like they're eating, as I said yesterday, is going out of style. And that's what the devil's goal is. To devour. By the way, the devil is not out to harm you. The devil's goal is to destroy you and your children completely. He doesn't simply want to injure you. But the devil, even as your devourer, he comes as an angel of light. An angel of light refers to being a good person, a kind person, a sweet person, a small person, but it's all a pretense. It's like we say in our language today, you hug the man and you stab him in the back. You pretend that it's nice. And you always know that. Sometimes people are so nice to you, you're wondering, when is the knife going to come in your back? That's how the devil approaches. He pretends to be nice. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, together. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Now this is particularly important for children. Children are easily fooled by shiny things. Spiritually shiny things also. Not just little trinkets. You can get many important things from children if you dangle nice things in front of them. Oh, that's so shiny. What do you want for it? That's what the devil wants to hear. And there are also the spiritual shiny things. This is the new way of worshiping. This is the songs we sing here are more lively. They are more attractive to the ears. Now, there's nothing. We can always improve what we do. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of times, what appears to be shiny things are just that. They're just shiny things. They're not better things. They're like what they call the fool's gold. Now, you see the sun shining on the mountain, you think that's a whole mountain of gold, and it's just iron pyrite. It's nothing. It's fool's gold. Or you have this big diamond, and it looks like a really big diamond. It's cubic zirconium to the person who knows what the person is looking at. It might be nice, but it's not valuable. And that's how the devil will come as well. He devours you by that short little lady. He might devour you by that sweet-talking boss. He might devour you by that child that comes and blinks her eyes at you. And you think, oh, of course you give her what she wants. Look at that face. And that's how the devil approaches you as well. Now, the devil also appears not just as a shiny little thing or a cute little child or a beautiful smile on your wife or husband, but he also sometimes comes directly at you, right in your face, as a roaring lion. Now, the lion is a symbol of strength, rage, malice, cruelty. And when he daily breathes out against the saints of God, Peter himself faced this roaring lion and was almost devoured by him. The devil was using Peter to get to Jesus Christ, and he came and attacked him. But look at what happened in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, together. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Get behind me, Satan. Satan was there ready to destroy Peter. But Jesus prayed for him. For the devil, Jesus said, wanted to sift Peter like chaff, that useless part of the grain. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, together. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. More, Jesus strengthened him and gave him a job to protect his sheep and lambs. That's the big people and the little people as well. And this is what you have to be aware of. You have to fight to protect your children and new Christians. And as a lion, the devil is seeking, trying hard to find and destroy them. The Arabs called the devil the busy one. The one who doesn't sit still. He will destroy whomever he can, just as a lion would. He was not hesitant to fight against the Lord himself, and he certainly will not hesitate to fight against you. You are much weaker than Christ. And this is the key. We, our children, are baptized, and we must thank God for that. But you have to go beyond them to the point where you are going to protect them from the lion. I like to watch animal shows. And I know when the lion gets a little deer, he doesn't say, "Oops, what a cute little thing, let me leave him alone." In fact, he thinks, tender meat. I'll get him first. I'll go for the mama and the papa later. And that's why you have to guard your children. That's why you can't turn them over to those who would indoctrinate them with nonsense and sins, attacking God. Your children in school, they're being trained against God. They're being trained against the Word of God. With no scientific evidence, they'll indoctrinate your children with evolution. They will tell them it's okay to murder children. Yes, your schools will tell you that. But you have to know God's Word. And you have to guard your children against that. Because that's what they're going to be taught in schools. They're going to be taught against the family. When God says, you have to have one man, one woman in holy marriage, they'll come up with other ideas for your children and tell them that that's normal and that's good. That's how the devil will attack, and he will target the children. every bad group that has really done well in their evil has some link with the children. Think about, for example, what happened with the Hitler. Where did he start? He didn't start going and spreading his lies to grown-ups. He started with the children in schools. The communists know how that works as well. Many of you who are from China would know the Red Revolution didn't start with grown-ups. It started with those kids in school, where the government got to indoctrinate them. And that's how the devil will work. He will target children in particular. Now, while the devil roams the earth as a roaring lion, the devil is also a sneak. So he comes as an angel of light, charming. He comes as a roaring lion. And he comes as a little sneaking angel as well, who comes when you least expect it. In Job chapter 1, verse 7, look at how the devil is described there. Together, and the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on the earth." The only place the devil will not be will be in heaven. Prepare to wait for heaven, but be ready to fight against him now. Now, one more thing about the devil that we know here is that the devil will often give you what you want when it is in his power to do so. He will give sweet to the one who wants it and sour to the one who wants it. But he gives you pleasure at a price. Just like he told Jesus he would give him the whole world if Jesus would only bow down and worship him. So the nature of the devil is one to be very careful about. He's not just somebody you can, like, they make jokes about that. I grew up in Pentecostal circles, and they would look and say, laugh at the devil, swing your hand at the devil, as if somehow that is going to hurt him. Well, he has so many ways of approaching. He is so evil, and he's so wise at his job. He's been doing it, as I've said before, for thousands of years. How do you try to outsmart someone with that much experience in deception? Well, this is how. The Bible says you must be equipped to fight against the devil. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We now come to the first part of the verse then. Be sober against the devil. Be sober, be controlled. This is repeated from 1 Peter 1. And repetition in the Peter, in any of the books of the Bible, is not just simply done to make the scriptures longer. There's no wasted word. It was done to emphasize this. Now, being sober is not really speaking of the opposite of being drunk, from drinking too much wine, though that is included. Being sober refers to the need of being in control of all the characteristics God has given to you as His children. Sober means being of sound and alert mind. Sober means being awake. Now, you've probably seen the drunk on a police television shows trying to walk the line that the policeman might draw. One line, say, walk on it, and you see people staggering and falling down because they could not walk straight. The reason is, they're drunk. And that's the spiritual lesson that he's teaching us here, is that you have to be spiritually aware in your full senses. That means you have to know God's Word. You have to be filled with the Word of God. One, being sober. Second, be vigilant against the devil. You have to watch for him. It's not just being able to fight him when he comes to you. You have to watch ahead for him when he is coming. And this depends on you being sober. For if you are not sober, you cannot be vigilant. Even Christ learned the need to be vigilant, and he taught that to us in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Together, then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." It's not a life that you can be casual and say, well, everything's okay. I got my bills paid. I got food in the cupboards. I've got the car is working okay. And the house is reasonably safe. It's very easy to become lazy with those things. And the guard here is saying, you have to keep on your guard. You have to keep watching. Because that's when the devil will come and attack you as well. He may not be that bright, shining angel of light. He might not come as a roaring lion, but he may sneak in from the back. So what's the response? Be sober. Keep your mind. Watch. He's coming from many different ways. And then resist. The word resist there in verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that suffering, the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That word resist means to fight. It's a military term. You are to defend the city. You're not fighting for the victory that was accomplished by Christ. You're not fighting for the city. You are in the city that has already been captured by Christ. Your deliverance is wrapped up in the power of Jesus, who came to destroy the works of the devil and set the people given to him by his Father free. And you're fighting in his strength. Remember, we said you are wrapped up in Christ. Yesterday, those who were here, I talked about the fact that you and Jesus Christ, your relationship must be so close that there's no daylight between the two of you. When you talk, it must reflect Christ. When you act, it's reflecting what Christ would do. And as such, you are able to fight because Christ is in you, and you are not going to let him take control of your life. You will resist him, the Bible says, so he will flee from you. When Christians are fighting against each other, they're actually yielding to the devil. Instead of fighting the devil, they fight each other. It's a lack of focus. Now, how do you fight the devil? He said we must resist him. Well, faith is the offensive weapon that you use. Faith in your Savior. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 talks about this. The Apostle Paul, I referred to this verse earlier, but in Ephesians you have first the wealth of the church, how rich the church is, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Then you have chapters 4, 5 that speak of the, and part of 6, that speak of the walk of the church. How you are to live. He starts off in chapter 4. I, Paul, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. And he says, walk in care, walk in love, walk soberly. You have to follow all of those things. But then in the last part of chapter 6, he talks about the warfare of the church. And he says, you have to fight. Then he starts off, you have to fight with faith. Knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing how you're joined together. And draw from that strength. When you see a baptism, your faith comes alive because you know, I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm now clean. When you see the Lord's Supper, you remember his body was broken and his blood was shed for your sins. And that strengthens your faith. When you hear the preaching of the word every week, when you read it every day in your home, you remember his love for you and you remember his promises and your faith gets stronger. So when the devil comes and says, don't do that or do that, you would say, no, that's a sin against God. You remember like Jesus, when he was tempted, he said, the word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone. Or he turned to the devil and said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Or man shall not live by bread alone. Then he says, you shall not bow down to anyone. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil tempted him to bow down. He was able to call upon the word of God that he was taught. And he was able to resist because faith came alive. And so with you, your faith is strengthened by the word of God. The visible word as you have in the sacraments or in the preach word, your faith comes alive. So don't lose your faith as a soldier is defenseless if he loses his shield. You know, that's the word of God. The Bible describes it. You've got the shield in your hand. You've got the weapon in one hand. If you lose your shield, you have no protection against the devil. The Bible says the devil shoots darts, fiery darts at you. His goal is to destroy you, and you have to have that shield. And the Roman shield was not some little dinky thing like you find in movies these days. This was a big shield. You could cover your whole body behind those things. That's what God expects. And He uses that word to teach how you must be protected by faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 again, together. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There is sufficient strength in faith, which comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So don't lose your faith. Keep your armor up. Ephesians 6:13 together. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he goes on to all the other things that you need for this fight. But it starts with the fact you've got to have protection first, and then you can advance. This is how you're able to withstand the arrows of the devil. James says, resist the devil and he will flee, run from you. This is so much for those who argue, let go and let God do everything for you. You are required to be offensive in your fight against the devil. There are some reformed people who like to argue the other way and just say, it's God's will. That in many times, that can actually be just as bad as the Arminian who says, let go and let God. You know, if they do something, if they made a bad choice, they simply say, and we've had to deal with this in a situation that I really can't talk about, but there's a situation where the elder said in this church, well, it's God's will. Well, if you made a bad decision, that's not God's will. That's against God's will. What they mean is God is sovereign in all things, and God would use their mistakes, in spite of your mistakes, to accomplish His purpose. That's true. God will use even mistakes you make for your good. But don't justify it and say that my mistake was good because God used it for my good. That's very different. And I think sometimes we like to hide behind the fact that, oh, it's God's will. Bad decision is bad decision. It's against God's will. He's giving you principles. You know, if you marry someone who's bad and against God's law, you marry someone, for example, who's not a Christian, don't go and say that's God's will. That's not God's will. That's against God's will. His will is clear. But will He use that for your good? Absolutely. God will take even the mistakes or the difficulties in your life and turn them for your own good, as the Catechism says. Now this struggle to stop fighting against your neighbor, this struggle is to stop fighting against your neighbors and learn to fight the devil. Remember what Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, what that says. Together, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not where we should be fighting. We should be fighting the temptations that come from the devil. So be steadfast, as verse 9 says, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast against the devil. Be determined, be stubborn, be immovable, as opposed to being drunken and staggering. Stand firm. And then the encouragement there. Other Christians are facing the same thing all over the world. You know, you often think very quickly, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. You know that old song? Nobody knows how bad life is to me. Of course people have. People know. People have been facing worse troubles everywhere. And it's particularly strange to hear North Americans, where we've been blessed with so many things, complain, oh, you don't know how hard life is. I can't get that 60-inch television LED flat screen stuff. And I think, so what if you have a television that might not be as good. Look at the safety. Look at the blessings we have in this in these countries that are just enormous. When your kids complain about something, remind them of that. Other Christians are facing much worse situation than we are. So you must endure your attacks without murmuring and with patience and with cheerfulness. This is the Christian life. You will always have attacks. Use your time, energy, and wisdom to fight, not to murmur or be disappointed. Here's the final word of assurance. Not only are other Christians facing it and surviving it, but know you will win. I like those kinds of battles when I know I'm going to win in the end. What a blessing. Jude, verse 6, together. And the angels who do not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. You know what? The devil who is attacking you and all his angels have a date with hell, where they will be confined to hell for eternity, and they will not be tempting you anymore. That is assurance. That is certainty. Conclusion. The devil is real. The devil is dangerous. He's been accusing the children of God from the beginning. He is a slanderer. He hates you but pretends to be your friend. He will come as an angel of light or as a roaring lion. And his goal is especially to target the church. Christians, as you can see from society today, there are many lures he sets up in front of children and young people. He sets traps for married couples. His goal is your and your children's destruction. Even pastors fail and fall into sins if they're not careful. He will not stop doing this till the end of the world. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't minimize the devil's danger, but equip yourself with God's Word and His Holy Spirit to fight off the devil just as Jesus did. And don't give the devil ammunition with which to accuse you. Fight with God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. Be on your guard and be determined. I use another big word here. Inoculate. Just vaccinate your children with the whole Bible. Camille and Marianne will learn. They have to be ready to die to save their children from his grasp. And so you. It takes time. It takes work to fight to protect your children. But be encouraged too. Know that others are facing the same things and winning. And you can too, because you are the redeemed of God. Know that you are not alone in this battle. You belong to Christ. And as his children, he will keep you. He didn't save you and adopt you to let you die. More, know that the devil will be destroyed in the end. He and his friends will be cast into an everlasting lake of fire. If you are not a Christian, you have no defense against the devil. Only the kindness of God is keeping you from being totally destroyed now. You have no word or shield or faith to defend you. You have no Holy Spirit to preserve you. You are truly in mortal danger. You must come to Christ and come to Him today. As a roaring lion, the devil will destroy you at his earliest convenience. You may not have tomorrow.